Yeah. You were getting 900 rent. Do you know what the monthly turnover on that house is on average?
So I get 2,800 per month.
What's the profit on that?
1,600.
And what was the profit previously when you were turning over 900?
Like £200.
Really?
Yeah.
By the time you paid for what? Your mortgage and your bits and bobs?
Yeah.
So £1,600 a month profit on that one house just because you switched it up?
Yeah.
So you're making more money now on the business than you ever were, and you're doing less than you've ever done?
Yeah.
What's the lesson? Jack, welcome to Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you for having me.
So what's your background and what made you want to get into property?
So my background, I worked as a wedding videographer and photographer, self-employed for the past 10 years plus. In terms of getting into property, I always wanted to sort of own property. That was kind of always my thing, really. And I always thought I had to save up for a deposit, and the kind of traditional method.
Yeah.
But since obviously joining the academy and everything, that's totally changed everything for me.
When was the very first house that you ever bought, and how much did you pay for it?
So we bought a house probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
More than 10 years ago.
Is that you and your wife?
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
Two kids.
Yeah.
And so we bought it for 150. And this is back in 2013.
Yeah.
And then we moved back in with our parents a few years back. And I basically just renovated it last year.
Rented it out.
Yeah.
How much is that property worth now?
It's worth 200.
So it's not much then.
It's not massive.
And you were renting it out for about £900 a month.
Yeah, 900 at the time. Yeah.
Which is not great.
It's not great.
Because your mortgage payments and everything.
Yeah.
So your experience in property then previous was limited. You owned one property.
Yeah.
You lived in it for a bit. You rented it out. It made a very small profit, but your bread and butter was wedding photography.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it as a Sikh? I don't know loads about your religion, but I know in the Christian community, it's sometimes looked down upon being sort of arrogant with money, or certainly, you know, pursuing wealth. And how is it in the Sikh religion?
Yeah, it's very similar, really, in the sense that a lot of people that I've looked up to in the past, you know, they've been very secretive on how they've built wealth.
Do they have a lot of wealth though in the Sikh community?
They do, yeah, definitely.
But they do it quietly.
Quietly, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah, and so when I kind of met yourself and sort of how you kind of talk about wealth.
Bro, it's so hard getting Sikhs on Winners on a Wednesday. It is so hard. Yeah. You're one of the, not the first, but one of the first. There's been a very small, I think we had Kush on, didn't we, about 6 months ago. He's doing really well.
He is, yeah.
But so what is that? What is that mentality, do you reckon?
I think it's keeping, we're always kind of taught to keep our cards close to us and not really share, especially when it comes to money. And the Sikh community, you know, we do share our kind of resources, and we do have open kitchens, and we do feed, you know, that kind of people that are struggling, for example.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to building wealth and sharing that, I think that's something I think we've just been taught to kind of keep to ourselves, which is fair enough.
It is, and there's merit to that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's merit to that. What was it then that made you agree to coming on this podcast, this show, and talking about the wealth that you've built? What?
I think it's not about me and what I think. I think it's about what other people can see and get inspired to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I kind of saw yourself on YouTube, I didn't see anyone from kind of my community on there. So I thought, well, there has to be someone that does it kind of first in that sense. And so, yeah, I just thought, you know, it's not about me and what I think. It's about inspiring other people, definitely. Mm. So that was kind of
because it's about motive, isn't it, as well? If you're talking about money in a with a heart of arrogance to try and brag and show off, then that's not good.
Whereas if
you're doing it to actually try and help people, uplift people, it might come across as arrogance or bragging, but it's actually not. And you're now financially free through property.
That's right. Yeah.
So congratulations. Thank you. You've packed in the wedding photography
so
business?
So I've actually systemized that. So I've actually got team. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I've got editors.
Does it make more or less money now than it did when you worked full time in it?
It's probably making more now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've especially post pandemic, I've kind of learned that you can't just do everything yourself.
Right.
And that.
So you're making more money now on the business than you ever were, and you're doing less than you've ever done.
Yeah.
What's the lesson?
Delegate.
Yeah.
Delegate your work. Don't try to do everything yourself. Trust the process. And, you know, you've got to think of yourself. You've got to replace yourself in business.
Right.
Wherever you can.
And whether that's replacing yourself through systems, whether it's through AI.
Yeah.
Automated email responders, whether it's through hiring a member of staff.
Yeah.
I think ultimately you've got to systemize things. Have you systemized your property business?
Yeah, so I just signed up to Ord APA about a month ago.
Right.
And that's been amazing.
Oh, mate, Michelle Ibbs.
Oh, yeah.
She's a legend. Yeah,
really good.
Did I connect you with them or did you?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's on your black book.
Yeah. Because you live really close. In Wolverhampton, don't you? You're from Wolverhampton,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But that's what, obviously, I'm a Wolverhampton boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Born in New Cross Hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah Wolverhampton. Yeah. So,
not
yeah. Far. So tell me about that then. Tell me about the systems that you've put in place on your property business.
Yeah, so as I got kind of, you know, I've got 5 SAs now, it got to the point where I was getting sort of a lot of guests reach out, you know, silly things, not silly things, but things like Wi-Fi password, how to check in, things like that. Even though they were getting automated messages on the channel manager for bookings, they would still ring up. So it was kind of distracting me from finding other property deals because I felt like I was just managing a lot of the time. So I signed up to Ord APA, got like a FAQ for them.
I'm getting mixed up. Well. I think I was talking about I'm your PA. Ord APA is slightly different.
Yeah.
But they're very similar. It's basically the same concept.
It is, yeah. And there's quite a few on there. So obviously, you know, you can find whichever works. Really.
So now if someone calls you, if someone's got an issue, it goes through to your PA.
Yeah.
But rather than you paying a salary for that, you just pay a small...
Yeah, it's just credits really every month.
Which means that you can focus on growing the business as opposed to working in it, you're working on it.
That's right, yeah. And that was really, really important. And that was something I wanted to do. And it's the same thing with the wedding side of things. You know, it was like, I felt like I was just kind of working in it and I just couldn't do other things and it was just too much. Mm. So I had to apply that same, but I did it a lot quicker with property because I knew that you have to get things systemized and things in place.
What is it that drives you? What's the goal?
The goal is, for me, I mean, one of them is just to kind of get my kids out of public school, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
That's one of them. My wife, she's studying master's in psychology. So she wants to help special needs kids. So she wants to kind of grow that business as well. So yeah, I just wanted more freedom.
Really.
Yeah, definitely.
To do what you feel you're put on the planet to do.
Yeah.
And raise your kids in the way that you want to raise them.
Oh,
without having the government raise them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not about what you leave your kids, but it's about what you leave in them.
Right.
And that's really important. So teaching them values and things that we were taught when we were kids. For now, like now, it's not the same thing in schools.
It's not at all.
And we have no control.
Brainwashed society.
Yeah.
With government raised kids.
Yeah.
And you have no control.
That's right.
Over what they're. I mean, even if they're teaching them good stuff about good values and ethics and morals, and you don't know because you're out of control.
Yeah.
Could be saying anything.
Exactly, yeah.
My daughter's 6 and there were subliminal kind of on the side conversations with her. She's 6 about sex education and marriage. And I went in and said, what's this? She's 6. Yeah. And they said, oh, don't worry. Formal sex education won't start until she's 7. I'm like, oh, really? Well, I'm taking her out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, geez. So I respect that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the goals, definitely.
Well, for me, one of my goals is through my training company, through the academy, is to educate the parents about financial literacy and personal and business development.
Oh, yeah.
So they can pass that to their kids.
Yeah.
And like, if you now have the finances, the time and the resources and the knowledge and the education and the development to train your kids, if I've helped enable that to happen, even in a small way, now there's a rippling effect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's huge. And it's so good to kind of learn everything that you've kind of taught us and then to pass it on to like my kids as well.
Yeah.
And just things about money and, you know.
People said to me, Samuel, you should do some training for kids. I'm like, I don't need to do training for kids. I'll teach you. You teach your kids.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for your own kids.
Yeah, that's right.
You learn yourself and then you pass it on to them, because there's no point you sending your kids off to become business gurus and find if you don't know yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's the same with me. When I was fat and my son said to me, why is your belly so big? I thought, you know what? I can't tell him, here's how you exercise it. I need to lead by example.
Yeah.
Financially, spiritually, ethically, moral, every which way. I need to try and get my life together so that I can then spend time and implement those lessons to my kids.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to do with mine as well, definitely moving forward.
So you joined the academy, you came to a crash course. Yep. What happened when you first came to the crash course? You spent a day with me, a couple hundred people or so. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking?
I just thought, is this actually real? Like, is Samuel really going to teach us how to become property investors? And I was just reluctant at first, and I wasn't actually going to attend. So I paid for the £1 ticket, but I wasn't going to turn up. And I just thought, you know what? Because the tickets were sold out. So I thought, oh, it must be a pretty good event. So I just turned up, sat on the front row, actually. And Ricky was on stage. And then, yeah, from there, I just thought, yeah, I need to do this. You know, something in me just said, I've got to try this. I've got to try something different. You know, I've been working what feels like a full-time job for like 10 years, even though it was my own business. I was just working in it, and just something just definitely had to change.
And it's like, you can own your own business, but if you're a slave to it, it's no different from a job.
No.
Your wife was super supportive.
Yeah.
In fact, your wife pushed you to go on advanced training, pushed you to join the academy.
She did.
Yeah. Really got behind you, which is so good that she did that. So shout out. What's your wife's name?
Hasimran.
Well, shout out to her.
Yeah.
How's she feeling about what you've achieved now?
Really proud. Yeah, she's super proud.
She should be, bro. And not only are you successful financially, but you're also now award-winning.
Thank you.
Got the People's Choice Award, Property Investors Academy. And also you crew.
Yeah.
Now you've not quit. Now you've systemized your wedding business.
Yeah,
you spend so much time volunteering to come and help other people and crewing. So you've got, you know, a massive heart, and I can see that you genuinely care about helping the community.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, you know, respect, and I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. And I think for me, it's gratitude as well. Like, you can say thank you a million times, like to yourself, Amanda, the mentors. But I think showing gratitude, and that's why I love crewing, because that's what I want to do, give back. And it is scary at the start of your journey in property. So it's always good to kind of find people that you can relate to. And like, I met three people on the advanced training that I was crewing, and they were just asking me questions that I knew I would have asked them, you know, previously.
Yeah.
So it's always good to kind of be in that room and that environment.
Remember where you came from.
Yeah, 100%.
We all started at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And we all start, especially on the academy, you know. It's funny because when we got like people that own their own doctor practices and stuff, you know, millionaires, big companies, lots of staff working for them, lawyers, property developers, and then you got people that are like Kane, who's 16 years old, who's never had a job, but everyone's just on the same, equals the playing field, because everyone's putting in the same direction, working together.
Yeah, and it's so inspiring, like sharing your success. I never thought that was a thing. I just thought, oh, why would you share your success? Just keep it to yourself. That's what everyone else is doing. But no, I've completely changed my mindset on that. You know, winners on Wednesday, obviously sharing success. Monday night mastermind, sharing your success again.
Yeah.
The Academy Meals, again, you know, you give everyone a platform to share their success.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah, because success breeds success.
Yeah.
And what you focus on expands. And when you talk about your wins, even like in sport, it happens if you watch a football player, if a footballer scores a goal, they'll never just go, good. Like, they'll celebrate.
Yeah.
And it keeps that momentum. And if you miss, you just kick. And when you win, celebrate quick, celebrate short, celebrate hard. And then it gets you in that state.
Yeah.
That success state. And it snowballs.
Yeah.
So talk to me then about your first deal then, because how long ago was it when you changed your property investment strategy? Because the house that you bought for 150, when did you switch that over and try it out as short stay lets?
So I had a tenant in there that left last August. Mm-hmm. Got the keys back in September last year.
So just over a year ago now.
Yeah. Needed renovation, not too big, just a, you know, new carpets, paint, that kind of thing, new furniture. And in my head, I'm thinking, is this going to work? Like, I'm from Wolverhampton. You have this kind of bias about your own place and where you're from. And it's so difficult to get past that. And then I was speaking to like Ibi and a few others, and they were like, listen, you own the property. You know, what's the worst case? It's just not going to, no one's going to stay there. Just put it back on AST.
Right.
So I thought, yeah, you're right. Let me do that. So yeah, I spent probably a good 2 months doing, you know, all the work to it. New lights, got obviously someone to skim it. I did all the painting myself. And yeah, by November it was ready. And then I put it on Airbnb and booking.com. And yeah, it's been amazing since.
That's interesting. I love what you say about how when it's your hometown, you can be almost biased against it.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, who's going to, Barbados or Wolverhampton? Ain't no one coming on holiday to Wolverhampton.
Exactly.
You know, that. But I meet people that say, like, oh, my hometown won't work. Mm. Wolverhampton's no good. Mm. But then they'll go and get deals in Liverpool in some of the poorer parts of it. And I'm like, what are you doing? If you lived in Liverpool, you would never buy a house in Anfield. No. Yeah, you're in Wolverhampton saying that Wolverhampton's no good, but moving. Mm. No.
Yeah, exactly. And as I put it on Airbnb and booking.com, I started getting bookings, and then I started learning about the type of people that are coming to Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And so that just opened, yeah, it's just like floodgates. From
who is it? Who were coming?
So I was getting mainly contractors, occasionally relocating families, but mainly contractors now.
Right. What kind of contractors?
They just work for construction companies, got Jaguar and Land Rover, that's in Wolverhampton. So get contractors from there.
Like engineers and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Car manufacturers?
Yeah. Even engineers that are doing servicing for breweries as well.
Right.
So they end up coming to Wolverhampton.
Because when people think contractors, especially if you tie in the same sentence with Wolverhampton, you might just think like very lower class kind of labourers. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case, is it?
No.
It's very professional,
smart
people.
Yeah, and they'll fly in from Germany to work for a couple of months. So I never knew that market existed.
People don't. But it's mad, isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. And yeah, so like now it's just mainly contractors.
So that house then, you were getting 900 rent. Do you know what the monthly turnover on that house is on average?
Monthly turnover, what now?
Yeah.
So I get 2,800 per month.
Okay. And then how much of that is expenses, like what's the profit on that?
1600.
1600 profit.
Yeah.
And what was the profit previously when you were turning over 900?
It's like £200.
Really?
Yeah.
By the time you paid for what? Your mortgage and your bits and bobs.
Yeah.
So £1600 a month profit on that one house just because you switched it up.
Yeah. It's mental. I couldn't believe it.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
People work full time for that.
Yeah.
In Wolverhampton anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got my second one in Wolverhampton as well, because that was full for 12 months.
That first one was fully occupied for 12 months?
Yeah.
Same booking or different?
Yeah, same booking. Yeah.
Well, so contractor just came in and said, I want it for 12 months.
Yeah.
I'll pay 2,800 or whatever it is every month.
So that's on the second property. The first one's actually a family from Middle East. So they're applying for residency in the UK.
Mm.
So they can't rent. So they basically need an Airbnb as such.
Now here's a question. Is there risk for you? What happens? The reason they can't rent is probably because they've got no references.
That's right, yeah.
They're from a foreign country.
Yeah.
They haven't got probably a UK credit score at all.
They haven't, no.
So they won't. And do you know how hard it is renting a house?
Yeah, it is really
the hoops they make you jump through.
Yeah.
Just for like a grand a month,
two-bed
house.
Yeah. They struggle to get a car in the UK as well, like just applying for different type
getting
of license.
Mortgages.
Yeah.
So they have to rent because they can't get a mortgage, but then they can't rent because no letting agent will let them.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that not a risk for you though? What happens if they move into your house and then they turn out to be right ones And they stop paying and they trash it and refuse to leave. And they're just a nightmare family.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I've got an excluded license agreement. And so they basically guests, they're not tenants. Mm. So if they don't pay, then I can just throw them out.
Right. So it's basically a similar agreement to if they live in a hotel.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hotels don't reference you because if you don't pay, they take it away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How long have they been there?
They've been there since March this year.
And how long? What's the length?
So they've agreed to stay until December this year.
Right.
And then they'll see where their residency is if the application's gone through.
Man, these things take time.
Yeah. They take a long time.
Relocators think they only need it for a few months. Mm. But then things...
Yeah.
When you're dealing with that sort of thing...
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes on and on. So how much on average do you make then per month per property that you got?
I would say for because I've got five altogether. I've got two with a joint venture partner. So the three that I've got, they make me about $3,000 a month.
Right.
Just over. And then with the joint venture partner, because they put all the money in, they're getting paid back first.
Yeah.
But I'll make $3,500 easy.
Yeah.
Per month.
Profit. Once the investors paid off, how much profit do those two properties make?
They make about sort of $1,500 to $2,000.
Between the two of them.
Yeah.
So that will, yeah. I mean, that is financial freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with your own property as well that you've got that's making 1,600.
Yeah.
That's madness.
It is, yeah. And I just secured £12,000 worth of bookings last week and Monday just gone as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're long-term contractors.
Where are you getting these properties from? Are you getting them from agents or are you getting them from landlords direct?
So the first two were... direct to landlord.
Where did you find them?
Open Rent.
Right. Open Rent, landlord only.
Yeah.
Contact them, tell them what you want to do.
Yeah.
Share your vision.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere, somewhere next.
No, yeah, exactly. And it's really difficult to even just get through to them on Open Rent as well.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get onto the phone. They just want everything to be messaging. See,
but this is where education comes in, because if you just try and have a bash on your own, not only do you not have all the links to the contractors, don't know how to advertise the Airbnb, don't know how to systemize it, don't know about all the synchronizing the calendar and all that stuff, but also you'll go out there, you'll speak to a few landlords, you'll get rejected and you'll think, you know what, this doesn't work. Whereas when you know what you're doing, you know that it is a case of rolling a dice.
Yeah.
Even if you say the exact right thing, you're still going to get rejected.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I bet you got loads of rejections. Oh, I know you
loads. Yeah. And then my third one was with the agent direct, with the agent, sorry. So.
Which agent was it?
Shipways.
Okay. So that's pretty big corporate.
Yeah, I think they're a sister company to Connells.
Yeah, maybe. I think it might be. Yeah. But they're big though.
They are, yeah, yeah.
They're a big company.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're pretty big.
They've been good to deal with?
Yeah, yeah. They've been pretty good, to be fair.
Were they totally cool and open with the idea and the concept, or were they difficult?
No, they weren't. I think they were a bit reluctant at first because they wanted to know what my vision was. And I think that's why it's important to know who your customer is and what you're doing and why you're doing it.
That's why when you're dealing with agents, you need to be, you just need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'll sniff you out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you just go, oh, well, I'm just going to rent it and then try and rent it out for more or put it on Airbnb maybe. Mm. No.
No. You've got to have a vision and you've got to identify a problem that you're trying to solve.
Yeah.
So like, because I've done sort of weddings for the past 10 years, I do travel quite a lot. And so I use that same story with the agent as well.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, when you are taking equipment with you, you want somewhere secure to park. You know, you don't want to go to a hotel. You want your own kitchen and you just want
to... So you explain to them your story.
Yeah.
What your vision is.
Yeah.
How important or how helpful, how much did you utilize the mentoring on the academy to help craft your story and stuff and help craft your script when you're speaking to these agents?
Yeah, it was really fundamental. I think your mom did a mastermind May 23, 2023. Yeah, May the 22nd. I remember the date because that mastermind was brilliant. You know, Sue went through crafting a story and where to start from. Obviously, everyone's story is different. So you don't have to, you know, lie or anything. You just use your kind of current circumstances.
You can't use a cookie cutter script.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going
to
work.
You need to craft your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really useful. And I do recommend that to academy members that have just joined. Because obviously, we do have access to previous masterminds.
Yeah.
Which is really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
How much did you utilize the one-on-one mentoring?
A lot. At the beginning, I was, you know, booking so many calls, and it was good to just pick up the phone, book a call, you know, and it was just, yeah, really, really useful, because doing it on your own is really difficult, and just having someone experienced that's kind of been there before is really encouraging.
What's your favorite aspect to the academy?
Rate My Deal has been brilliant.
Tell me about it.
So Sue rated my first deal back in July. I think it was like 80%. And yeah, that one like worked really well.
What is, for anyone who doesn't know, what is Rate My Deal?
So Rate My Deal is where you'll basically submit all the information of your deal that you've got. So the property, what conditions it's in, the area, what you know about the area, everything. All your due diligence basically is in that Rate My Deal. And then you send it off. And then obviously one of the mentors will have a look at the deal and just give it a rating out of 100.
Okay, if it's good or bad.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And the feedback's been brilliant on that, because they'll identify things that you've probably missed yourself. And that's why mentorship is really useful.
Blind spots, isn't it? Oh, it's like an insurance.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that's been really useful. And it's just confidence as well, knowing that you've got a deal that stacks, because I basically raised finance for that deal through the academy. And I used that as almost like a certificate. Yeah. Said, this is actually a good deal. It's been looked by a mentor. And I managed to raise about $7,500 just to put into the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been awesome.
That's amazing. What would you say has been the biggest learning point or the learning curve for you then? If you were like, from everything you've learned over the last year or so, what's been the biggest lesson?
I think it's unlearning. For me as well, and learning the stuff about money, about debt, good debt, bad debt. You know, I never knew that was a thing before. And it's just crazy that we go through school and we just don't learn any of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the academy is just, for me, it's just been a lot of unlearning about just myself, limitations that I put on myself as well, being around the environment. That's been crucial. Yeah, so crucial.
Society doesn't just keep you financially ignorant. It also makes you financially stupid because, as you say, you learn stuff that Mark Twain said, it's not the stuff you know that causes you problems. It's the stuff that you're sure that you know that actually ain't so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is when you've got concepts and ideas that to you make sense because you've been brainwashed your entire life.
Yeah.
But actually, in reality, that's going to keep you poor.
Exactly,
because the people that create the narrative, the people that control, who controls what's in the school curriculum, the government. The government have complete control over the way we think, the way, and what do the government want? They want obedient people.
Yeah,
docile, obedient people.
Yeah,
crowd control to the extreme. That's which it. Is what school is, crowd control.
Yeah, and things like pay your mortgage off, pay it off as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
and you know. And I didn't
save your money, put it in the bank.
Yeah.
So the banks can get rich.
Yeah. And then like I didn't understand the concept of like interest only mortgages and how you can kind of leverage what you've got. And that was like game changer for me, because that's what gave me the confidence to then put my property on Airbnb and everything and from a residential to a buy to let.
Oh, okay. So to flip the mortgage over.
Yeah.
People don't realize you can do this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was massive. The academy, there's just not enough time to kind of explain just how valuable it is.
Yeah, people
it's so
don't know.
Underrated.
As soon as people go, oh, £12,000 for a course, in a course. You think it's a course? It ain't a course.
It's way more than that.
What, if you had to summarize it, what is it? What is the academy?
It's so hard to describe. It's everything. It's business, it's social, it's having someone to turn to when things get challenging. Having someone to talk to, the mentorship, Rate My Deal, quote my refurb. Like it's just everything.
Power team on taps, listers, accountants, mortgage brokers. Because this is the thing, people go, oh, the economy is expensive, £12,000 for a course. Hang on a minute. If you're in the game of property, you need to speak to lawyers. Yeah. Now you can either pay them their £500 per hour, right? Or you can speak to them on the academy for free.
Yeah. Spoke to Tatiana Monday and Simon.
Right.
and just ask them questions. Like, yeah. You can't get that anywhere else.
No, you can't. And you have to wait 3 weeks, and time is money.
Yeah.
So anyone that says that the academy is too expensive is financially stupid. They don't, or, you know, they're just not in the field, don't get it. Fine, yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
But thank God your wife pushed you into it.
Yeah, I would not have joined.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would not have joined.
And it's interesting because normally people's family members are like telling them not to do it.
Mm. No, she was the opposite.
Yeah.
And the same with like her degree and stuff. Like that's what she wanted to do. Become a psychologist, help children with special needs and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's a good team.
There's a time for education. Here's the thing, right? If you want to be a, like with your wife, she's getting a degree because it's going to help her where she's going. Mm. But the problem with a lot of you people that go to university is they just join just because.
Same, I did.
What did you study?
I studied animation at university.
Right.
I kind of rebelled a bit, actually, to be fair.
That doesn't sound like you, Jack.
It doesn't. But internally, I thought, I don't want to go to uni, but my parents pushing me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the way they've been brought up.
Yeah.
Coming to the UK from India.
100%.
You know, it's just one of those things.
A lot of immigrants are very pro education, which is good.
Good, yeah.
But it's just understanding the pros and cons and the differences between formal education and self-education.
Yeah. So I just did animation. I just thought, I'll just enjoy it. I never thought, or I never knew I was going to actually get a career in it. Because it was very much, you know, it's very kind of location based. You have to go to certain areas like London, Bournemouth, Bristol kind of thing. And I just thought, you know, I'm just not going to do that, but I'm going to do it just because, you know, I have to do it. And then, from then on, I just thought, I just need to do something different. And I'm really glad I joined the academy.
What would you say to all the Sikhs out there in the Sikh community that are on the fence about getting into property, coming to a crash course, they're wondering whether there's a conflict between their religion and coming down there, feel out their comfort zone?
Yeah.
I don't know what the stumbling blocks might be. Yeah. All the people that are financially free, that are Sikhs, that are on the academy, that are refusing to come on a Wednesday because it doesn't fit with their culture and religion.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I
can't speak to those people.
Yeah, because I think someone will always say something about you. There's always someone that's going to say something, regardless of what you do. And I think, you know, you've got to be that kind of lighthouse for other people.
Right.
Definitely. And, you know, that's a way of you giving back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way of you serving other people.
Right.
Is by
so you're being almost being selfish by holding everything too close to your chest.
Mm.
When actually, if you were to be a bit more open, you could probably have more impact on the world.
Yeah, and they're probably worried about being judged, but like you're going to get judged regardless of what you do in life. You know, there's always going to be someone that's going to say something to you. So I think, well, rather than keep it to myself, I genuinely want to see other people succeed, and that's that's why I crew, and that's why. I just love helping people, definitely.
Well, we love Sikhs. We love people from all walks of life and religions. Yeah. And it's great to have you, man, sharing your story. You're such a top dude. And thank you so much for all that you've given back to the community and for not just what you've done, but who you are.
Thank you very much.